right after the rally. Doors open 4:30. The event starts at 5. If you would like a ticket, this is to support a community member's family who is currently in Gaza to try and get them out to safety as they are experiencing genocide. So if you would like to get information about that, find out the location, e-transfer some donations to get your ticket to come in. There will also be takeout options for the food. Food is delicious. I looked at the menu, it's awesome. You can find all that information at the table over there, to my left, your right. For safety reasons, I'm not going to say the address, but you can find it all there and find out the information. That is our first order of business. The second one is that on August 20th, this Tuesday, there's going to be a National Day of Action for an arms embargo. I'm going to just read out this little newsletter. On Tuesday, August 20th, another action is planned to take up the call by Arms Embargo Now Canada to force a total end to import and export of arms between Canada and Israel. The focus is on getting members of Parliament and others to sign on to the declaration. We must force the Government of Canada to abide by international law. Go to Arms Embargo Now Canada website to see how you can act, but also please join the public action at Scotiabank on Douglas and Yates on Tuesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So that's on Douglas and Yates. There's going to be a protest this Tuesday, 11 a.m., where we demand that Scotiabank divest all of its holdings in the giant Israel arms manufacturer Elbit Systems. It's already divesting part of the way. I think 70% of it now is divested, but we're not stopping at 70%. We stop at 100%. So let's push it all the way. Today is day 317. I can't do the math right now how many weeks that is. As we head out on this march, I just want to remind you that it is a silent march, meaning that we won't be chanting, but there will be stops periodically. We'll play some testimonies or call on the public to take some action. Remember that when we are silent, it means that other people's vocalizations will be louder, right? Which means that the people that support us, we will hear them. And the people that don't support us, we will also hear them. Remember that our journey is to justice, and their journey is to derail us. So when you respond or react or confront or yell or engage with agitators, you are giving them success. Because then it takes time for the people around you that love you to pull you back in, and they've already derailed us. So I'm calling on you all. I'm not asking you to do it because it's easy. I'm asking you to help me out because I know it's hard. Don't respond to the agitators. Let their depravity hang in the silence. Let them show everyone else that while we advocate for justice and liberty for everyone, they want to continue the killing and the massacres. When your enemy's making a mistake, don't interrupt them. Let everyone see their depravity. Who cares, right? Is that fair? Is that okay? Cool. And I'll remind you of a safety tool, right? Check in with three people before you engage with an agitator. To three people around you and be like, I want to go yell at this person. And you need three yeses in order to do that. And if someone comes up to you and says that, your job is to say no. Yeah, agreed, social contract, we all agree. Cool. With that, I don't think I have any other announcements. We are prepared to go on this march. If we want to, I guess, line up on the grass and start heading out. Oh, and we need some volunteers, if you have free hands.
So what I'll do, I'll see if I can buttonhole some people, old friends and new, to talk as we walk. So we're just getting ready to go. I'm standing with Corey. Corey, do you want to identify yourself and tell us why you're here?
Yeah, my name's Corey Greenlees. I'm a member of the Victoria Peace Coalition, and members of the Peace Coalition have been here since October, every week without fail. But what I would like to mention today is that Tuesday, August 20th, there is a call for a national day of action regarding an arms embargo by Canada, a two-way arms embargo with Israel and Canada. And we urge letters to MPs calling for the embargo, and all out at the Scotiabank in Victoria, 11 a.m. on Tuesday, to support this arms embargo.
As far as the government goes here, they say that we've already got an arms embargo in place in Canada.
Well, it is not 100%. The contracts that are in place are still being allowed to go forward, and now there's talk about Canada selling munitions from General Dynamics to the U.S., which will be included in shipments by the U.S. to Israel. It's got to stop. It's all got to stop now.
And these are these mortar bombs that they're sending via the United States to get around, observation here in Canada.
Yeah, that's it. Canada remains complicit by trading with the U.S., supplying arms to the U.S. It's all part of the ongoing genocide in Gaza.
Thanks, Corey.
Okay.
I'm standing here with Mehdi. Mehdi, do you want to identify yourself and tell me why you're here?
Hello. My name is Mehdi Najari, and I am a resident of Victoria for the last 36 years. I am 66 years old, and I have seen so many injustices all around the world, and in South Africa with the black people, in African country with the colonists. It's South and Central America, Argentina, Paraguay, and El Salvador, Nicaragua. And so I was involved in all of those to oppose them at university, in the state, and also here. So looks like our duty to speak for justice.
Have you ever seen anything that, like we've seen these last 10 months in all your years?
No, I don't think anybody's seen something like this. And the appalling thing is that the media here in Western country, justifying all this devastation, all this massacre of women and children are being justified by, and if you criticize Israel for what he's doing, you're anti-Semites. I mean, this is unbelievable, They are gaslighting the whole world, and they are getting away with it.
Yeah, it's maddening. Thanks, Manny.
Yeah, you
I'm standing here with Bill. Bill, do you want to identify yourself and tell me why you're here?
Yeah, I'm Bill Carroll. I teach sociology at UVic, and I'm strongly in support of the Palestinian people and strongly critical of the Zionist state and the genocidal atrocities being committed, particularly in Gaza and also the West Bank.
Well, the university fight here in North America, and mostly in the States, but in Canada too, has been a big feature of what's been going on. VUI up island here on Vancouver Island, they just evicted their protest camp. UVic did the same a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
What do you think about the university's role in all this?
Well, I'm an active member of Faculty for Palestine, UVic, and we supported the student encampment, of course, it's quite a shame. In fact, it's shameful what university administration in various places has been doing. I mean, there have been some victories of the encampments as well, which are really important to acknowledge and build on. For example, in Montreal at University of Quebec at Montreal, that was a fairly successful encampment. I think University of Windsor, the outcome there was quite successful in terms of getting university administrations to really tune into the issues and take up issues like divestment.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill.
Sure.
I'm standing here with Randy. Randy, do you want to identify yourself and tell me why you're here?
Well, I'm Randy, as you say. I've been around for a while, and we're trying to change the world. That's what we're trying to do here. Some people want us back in the Stone Age, and we want to go forward so that there's more equality, more democracy, more freedom, and so on for everyone on this earth. And what's happening in Palestine now is a Nazi type of situation that we're seeing it all over again. And all those folks in the past, since the Second World War, have been telling us that it should never happen again. Well, it's happening right now, and they are not stopping it. The leadership of this world from wealthy countries are not doing their jobs, and they should be all kicked out and replaced with decent human beings that can establish a world order where everyone has the same chances to survive.
Well, when you say that about Canada, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but who are we going to replace them with when everybody, all the parties in the parliament agree?
Well, I believe that these parties that are in existence now should disappear, we should kick them out, and we should replace them with people's parties made of people who are concerned, who can make a real difference, and who really care about the citizens of this country. And I totally agree with you that the leadership and the parties that we have today, they are not representing the people at all.
Yeah, I like to think most Canadians oppose what's going on. But here we are, there's some hundreds here every week, but you know, in a city, the population like this, we represent what, 0.1% or something?
Well, there's been polls after polls that disagrees exactly with what the government of the United States, Europe, and most places, even in Western Europe, are opposed of, and the government is doing exactly the opposite of what their citizens are asking for. So it's a shame, and we have to replace them.
Okay, let's listen to what they have to say.
To try and call on you to wake up and join us in fighting for justice. The topic on my mind is democracy and what democracy requires of us. Does anybody here know Blackstone's ratio? By show of hands, like if I say that, does that mean anything to anyone? Blackstone's ratio by William Blackstone, English jurist. Okay, you might not be familiar with the name, but I think you're familiar with the idea. Blackstone's ratio, William Blackstone was an English jurist in the 1700s, and his ratio is basically that it is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent suffer. And this is a point of argument. You can argue for it, you can argue against it. This concept did not originate with him. It goes back to Jewish law and Islamic law and Christian law. But this idea, it is better that 10 guilty persons escape than one innocent suffer, demands of us that we focus on protecting our rights rather than punishing someone carelessly. And I just feel like the people that champion themselves as democracies have completely abandoned this and are instead opting for a complete opposite. That it is better that 10 innocent people suffer than one guilty person go away, which smells like authoritarianism to me. So, with that in mind, I want to play for you an interview from Democracy Now!, which was released less than 2 weeks ago, talking about the torture in Israeli prisons.
Shame!
Israel's facing growing condemnation over the torture and rape of Palestinian prisoners. Israel's Channel 12 News aired shocking footage of Israeli soldiers sexually abusing a Palestinian prisoner. The video video shows a group of blindfolded prisoners lying on the ground inside a prison at Sde Teman Army Base, which critics have compared to Guantanamo. Israeli guards are then seen taking one man into a corner where the soldiers encircled him and reportedly sexually assaulted him. Israel's investigation of this incident is what led a group of far-right Israeli protesters and lawmakers to break into two military bases last week in an effort to prevent the soldiers from being questioned. Meanwhile, a group of UN experts has warned Israel's escalating use of torture of jailed Palestinians is a crime against humanity. The experts wrote, "Torture practices are irredeemably unlawful and constitute international crimes, yet form part of the modus operandi of Israel's notorious detention and torture system," unquote. 50-year-old Firas Hassan, an official in the Palestinian Authority's Ministry of Youth and Sports, describes not only being beaten by prison guards while in detention, but hearing that their brutal attack is being live-streamed for Itamar Ben-Gvir, the Minister of National Security of Israel, to watch. B'Tselem also spoke to Sari Haria. He's a 53-year-old real estate lawyer and an Israeli citizen. He was arrested and detained over a Facebook post November 4th last year. In this clip, Sari describes Abdurrahman Nari, a 23-year-old man in the isolation cell next to him, screaming in pain and later being brought out in a body bag.
He screamed in pain constantly, begging for the doctor. The guard would come now and then and swear at him and tell him to shut up. In the morning, the guards came to count us. One said, "Get up, you animal. Get up, you dog." They checked him, and the whole place went silent. Finally, the doctor said, "There's nothing to be done." One of the guards said to them, "My condolences." And they all started laughing. They put him in a black body bag and carried him out like trash.
We're joined right now by Sarit Mekaeli, International Advocacy Lead for the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem. The group's new report is titled, "Welcome to Hell, the Israeli Prison System as a Network of Torture Camps." Sarit, thanks so much for being with us. Just as we listen to these horrifying accounts, please lay out your findings.
I think on the very fundamental level, Amy, our findings look at the systemic, ongoing and state-sanctioned, government-sanctioned use of torture and abuse in the Israeli prison system vis-a-vis Palestinians. Palestinians who Israel considers to be views as security prisoners. Now, this is something that we have discussed in the past. I mean, torture and abuse of Palestinian detainees in detention and interrogations have occurred. They have been documented. But the level, the degree, the scope, the scale of this phenomenon since October 7th are simply unrelated to anything we've seen in the past. And when we look at the way these people are treated, you showed some of the testimonies. Some of the many more testimonies are actually available on our website, and we're sharing them online. You see that clearly this isn't the actions of any sort of rogue element of the Israeli prison system. It's a government sanctioned and also government supported, government mandated policy. And that's the essential conclusion that we have from all of the information that we've collected in recent months.
What else is there to say? I actually don't have the words. Let's just keep going.
I'm standing here here with Kim. Kim, do you want to identify yourself and tell me why you're here?
Yeah, my name is Kim Hines, and I'm also known as Hothead or Icebreaker. And I'm here because I was born in poverty in the north end of Winnipeg, and I know Canada is a settler state that creates poverty, it legislates poverty, and then criminalizes the poor. And right now, globally, the settler state is committing genocides more than in Palestine. But Palestine is the voice of people fighting back, resisting, not giving in. They are not victims. They are leading in their own movement. And it's something that we need to realize. It's all connected to everything locally. And I've kind of had enough. And even though I have a third head injury because of police state here in Victoria, I have a disability. I'm holding on to your back or just touching it so I can walk easier. You know what I mean? And I came here to film the police state, because it's horrible what's happening, and I just had a feeling today something might happen because of Nazis rising up globally. So, yeah, more people coming out, please. Like, just the more people that come out, the fascists are backed away immediately. We need everyone to come out again now. Now's the time. I know I've been resting. Everyone knows I've been away. But we got to take turns to come back and bring about 10, 20 people with us. Thanks for being here, brother.
We'll keep going. Yeah. Yeah, like you say, build it before it's too late.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kim.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm here with Larry. Larry, do you want to identify yourself and tell me why you're here?
I'm Larry Hannant, and I'm here because I strongly oppose genocide, and Israel is committing genocide, with the world community's total agreement.
Yeah, that's hard to fathom. I was just saying to another commenter that it's not hard to imagine why Israel does what it's doing, but it's more difficult to understand why Canada and other Western countries sanction it.
And what we see basically is that the states, Western states in particular, although the many other countries worldwide are strongly opposed to this, they have collaborated with Israel. Not only are they ignoring the genocide, but they continue to supply arms. The United States is singled out particularly, but many other countries are fully pumping in arms to this criminal system, and so they are criminals too. Under the laws of genocide, that makes them complicit and therefore guilty of genocide as well.
And ironically, it's the rules-based order, so-called countries that are the first offenders.
The rules-based order, yes. And in fact, that phrase is a deception because it ignores the more real issue of international law. Rules-based order is not defined, so it can come up according to however, whatever some Western politician wants to define it or say it is. But international law is defined, and that's why they avoid that phrase. They have invented a new one to basically obviate human rights standards and laws.
And the beginning and the end. Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
To start this little talk off, I think I'd like to give you just a quick timeline of things that happened recently. So on August 10th, which was not yesterday, but the Saturday before, there was a massacre in Gaza City that has been nicknamed the Fajr Massacre. Fajr is referring to the morning prayers in the Islamic religion. And during this massacre, 100 people were killed while praying Fajr in congregation in a school in Gaza City. Not a single person of these 100 people were found whole. Every single one of them was shredded to pieces. That's on August 10th. 3 days later, on August 13th, the United States approved another $20 billion armed package to the occupying force. Now you're thinking, well, that's the US and we're in Canada. So, you know, sucks for the U.S., but what does that have to do with us? And actually, it has about, I think, $30 million worth to do with us. Because in the defense secretary's public statement, they named an arms dealer that is going to be providing them with weapons that is based in Quebec, Canada. Woo! I'm just trying to find the name. Okay, so they said that the General Dynamics Ordnance and Tactical Systems Incorporated would supply tens of thousands of M933A1 120mm high explosive mortar cartridges and related equipment. Okay, let's go back a little bit for the timeline. In March of this year, the government was sued. The Canadian government is currently being sued by human rights lawyers, Canadian human rights lawyers, for their violation of international obligations. So because we are a member of the UN treaty, we signed the UN Arms Treaty, we're not supposed to be selling weapons if we know that there is a high risk of war crimes and genocide and international human rights being violated. Now in March, it was said, you know, Melanie Jolie said, well, no, actually we're going to stop all new permits. But they kept all the existing ones. And the question was why? And then they said, well, we're not selling lethal weapons, so that's why we're not stopping it. Lo and behold, August 13th, if not for the US Defense Secretary revealing that it's coming from Quebec, we would have no idea that they were continuing to sell arms to Israel through the United States as an intermediary. The question is, are you okay with your government lying to you? Are you okay with them lying to you about military budgets? Are you okay with them lying to you about military budgets during a genocide? We have an issue. We're not okay with the government lying to us. Has the government ever lied to us for a good reason? No. And yet here we are continuing with business as usual. So we call for boycotts and we call for divestments and we call for sanctions. And to everyone on the street that can hear my voice right now, I invite you on August 20th. We will be holding a protest, a demonstration outside of Scotiabank, who deals with Elbit Systems, to get them to completely divest from Elbit Systems. This Tuesday, 11 a.m., be there, please. And if you're thinking it's 10 months in, what is the point of still holding protests? It is working. Scotiabank has partially divested from Elbit Systems, but we're not okay with part of it. We want all of it gone. No complicity in genocide. Thank you. Let's continue.
So there you go. There was about 120 or so people come out and walked the march through the city. I took streeters this week for the first time in a long time. And it carries on yet. Atrocities multiplying by the day. And the complicity...
Don't be shy about this picture, folks. No one's going to zoom in on
Canada and the rest of the Western nations is evident.
Yes, and if you are holding a laminated picture of a martyred child, please, after the photo, return those. You can give them back to our friend over here holding it up to my right, or any of the organizers.
Thank you so much.
Every day by the ton with the orphaned and famished.
beneath the sky, waiting for the moment when it's their turn to die. Some people just can't look away. They have to set up a tent on the campus and say, boycott, sanction, and divest. 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 Boycott, sanction, and divest.